Hey East Meets West listeners, in this week's episode, Albert and I break down the news that TikTok is looking to launch Project S, its new e-commerce shopping product in North America. There's still a lot of speculation as to what Project S will look like at launch and what it's going to be named, but current reports indicate that TikTok will no longer just provide a platform for brands to sell on. Instead, they're going to have their own inventory and goods that they'll warehouse in the US and attempt to sell through the TikTok app. It's like TikTok meets Amazon. As always, keep listening and enjoy. Welcome to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. My name is Dan. Joining me, as always, Albert. How are you doing?
Dan, I'm going good. Starting a new job on Monday, so pretty excited. How are you?
Good, good. Should we announce that the name of the organization, Albert from?
No, we shouldn't. That's not affiliated. It's just keep things clean.
Keep things clean. Okay. That's fine. I mean, as everyone knows, check out the show notes for Albert's Twitter so you can follow him there on a more sort of personal level. But let's get into this week's episode, Albert. We're talking about TikTok, which, you know, I find one of the more fascinating companies that we follow on a more regular basis, just because they are obviously leading in Asia and they're so much at the forefront of controversy in the West. What are they doing that sparked our interest this week?
Yeah, so TikTok have just announced that they are bringing their e-commerce offering to Western markets, specifically the US. So when I say their e-commerce offering, it's an offering that's a bit more similar to what Amazon is, where they are now buying manufactured products, merchandise, goods from China, shipping it into the US, warehousing it, where users can then buy effectively TikTok branded products or like TikTok owned products.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a step back there. So when we're talking about TikTok, social media platform, if we think about like basic principles, most of their revenue is derived from advertising. Now, what they've been getting into is the e-commerce side of things, which as we know in China is already very, very prevalent with Pinduoduo and some of the others, where you have like this live streaming mixed with selling, mixed with, you know, XYZ. What they've rolled out in Western markets is TikTok Shop, which basically allows brands to sell their products directly through the app and a small commission goes to TikTok. What that looks like is almost like any other e-commerce shop you go to online. You have these tiles with different products, and then when you click a tile, it, you know, opens up into your usual TikTok video, but there's a more, you know, commercial element to it. They're very clearly selling you items. This new feature, which they're talking about, it's different from TikTok Shop because rather than having brands sitting on their app selling directly to you, as you said, Albert, these are, you know, items which TikTok is manufacturing itself, managing the supply chain itself. And they said it's going to be things like toys, you know, these kind of, you know, very easy to manufacture and distribute kind of items.
It's a pretty interesting move where I think they've now started and tested effectively what is a marketplace e-commerce content business with TikTok Shop. And now they're probably pushing the other way to be more like a first party reseller or a first party seller with their TikTok. And I think the name that's floating around is called Trendy Beat, which they've just patented, but Trendy Beat, name pending, where, like you said, Dan, they're going to buy all the inventory, they're going to manage logistics. I think the key call out here is like ByteDance and Douyin in China is already doing this, and they've been pretty successful in Southeast Asia. So I think last year they did around 4.4 bill in gross merchandise volume, and they're looking to do 20 bill this year in Southeast Asia. So you can see they've set themselves a pretty lofty and an ambitious growth target. So I imagine from that success, they're now like pushing towards the US and other Western markets, because they think they can take learnings from that into these markets.
Yeah, so let's look at, I guess, like the bull case for this, Albert. Like, what's the best case scenario? And I can get the rationale behind it. They have this like unprecedented scale and distribution through their app to access people. And obviously they get a very healthy clip through marketing, but how else can they get margin on their product? Selling directly to people, they're planning to leverage all of the user data they have. So, you know, if Albert, through your TikTok, it's clear that you're watching all these climbing videos, etc. Very easy now to start pitching you particular products based on your viewing habits. Now, they're obviously going to, you know, have pretty narrow sets of what they're going to be selling at the moment. As I mentioned before, toys, kitchen gadgets, those kinds of things. I can see that fitting in pretty seamlessly. You'd have a large cohort of people watching cooking videos, etc., which you can then target with these things, which are pretty probably low cost to manufacture, and you can put a pretty healthy margin on top. What's the pain points in that sort of plan that I laid out, Albert? Like, the thinking seems pretty rational when you think about it in that direction.
Yeah, I think the move strategically makes a lot of sense, because for a lot of the users on TikTok, they're already doing this. And so by already doing this, they're either, you know, talking about products and using like product and content marketing to run an e-commerce business, but then users are going off-site. So that's how they built TikTok Shop. It's like then you're enabled to sell products on TikTok. I think the key challenge though is like you're just taking a bit of margin or a few percentage points on top of that. And so the absolute growth is not that large. So when you're a big business like TikTok and you're trying to double, triple, quadruple revenue year on year, like you're not just going to be able to do that by taking 1 or 2 percentage points. Then this is why they're doing that. So they're just basically closing the loop on user behavior. I think the key challenge here is this is just like a fundamentally different business and a different like business model and structurally how you set up this business to what they are now. So TikTok is like, I wouldn't say social media, but it's like a content and social platform. And that's predominantly based and uses, you know, social media videos, viral loops, etc. Well, now what they're building is an e-commerce business with warehousing, distribution, logistics, and customer service. So what they're building is completely different and there's a different business profile to what their current business is, and then requires a lot of cash to do that, which TikTok has. But I think there's a fundamental challenge in like running a business within a business that is completely different and runs different to your original business.
Yeah. I mean, let's think about some of the challenges here. We've talked about Coupang, you know, the South Korean sort of grocery delivery and other delivery business. A lot of challenges they had in Korea is they had to build out the infrastructure. Like they own the trucks, they pay the drivers, etc., to get these things delivered next day or even quicker. And I think that's a problem which is probably not too bad in the West, particularly if you're launching in America, fairly established infrastructure for delivery. So I'd give that, you know, a pretty passable, I think they can get over that hump. The other one which I thought of, which is I think probably more problematic, Albert, is the Shein problem, which we talked about in our episode about them. Like the quality of the goods can come under fire pretty quickly. Like everyone already has a bit of a pejorative view of Chinese made goods. And if what they're putting out isn't of high quality, I just don't see this really working out.
Yeah, I think the Coupang analogy is great, but I think the caveat I have to that is like Coupang plays in, you know, South Korea and Southeast Asia more broadly, where the purchasing power is much lower. Obviously, South Korea is higher than Southeast Asia, but the purchasing power is lower, but the cost to deliver is also much lower. The US, the cost to deliver is much higher, but if you're playing in like a low, you know, value area, which like Shein and Temu also play in, and then you've got to put in like US costs associated with that, fuel, transport, customer service, etc. I think there's a margin challenge here, which then again is very different to what their current business is. And then you layer on the things that you've spoken about, Dan, around quality.
Acquisition of Shein or Temu, Albert?
Look, I think Shein is a very interesting, and Temu also a very interesting business. And I don't know whether TikTok will do the same thing, because they use the data and viral loops to show products that probably don't yet exist and then sell those products once they have like an aggregate mass of buyers. So because TikTok need to have a product, because people need to like see and make videos of the product, I wonder how well that will work, given the way the business and how TikTok is set up as like a visual aid to e-commerce. But I think there is probably something very powerful there with their data and the data engine and how they create products.
Yeah, I was thinking of like, what are some of the viral trends where if they were to occur today with this sort of TikTok system, would just go nuts. To me, the big one was fidget spinners, Albert, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is like right in the zone of super easy to manufacture at scale, super visually appealing and interesting. You do all these videos, etc., and just like people would just buy those en masse through TikTok. Like that's the, I think, what they're looking to really kick this off.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're right. There's like a particular product category that like goes viral in social media, and it's things like fidget spinners. And for Shein, it's obviously like bright, trendy looking clothing that's very like aesthetic. And I imagine TikTok is probably going to carve out similar thing. I mean, everyone probably seen the TikToks or the Instagram reels of like, check out these 5 cool items you can buy from Amazon that will change your life. And they're always like a very specific egg cup holder or something. But maybe that's where TikTok will play.
So I wanted to zoom out a little bit, Albert, because, you know, this is going to be much more of a live stream kind of a feature, different from TikTok shop. But if we lump it all into this sort of social e-commerce umbrella, Instagram removed their shop tab in January and sort of announced that they were really stepping down their live shopping efforts. Facebook had a live shopping feature last year, which they shut down. Feels a little bit like TikTok is going against the trend in the West. Is this just more blue sky opportunity for TikTok to take a lead on, or are they actually going against the grain here in perhaps a dangerous way?
Yeah, I think it's a very, really, really good question. I think there's two key unlocks that enables TikTok to do this. The first is like, because Instagram is almost now like influencer-led platform, people actually don't want to buy from influencers. Like people don't want to buy products from people who look gorgeous because like they don't necessarily resonate. So when you have ordinary people showing off ordinary products, I think that's like the unlock for TikTok that will get them to be successful. And I think the second thing that TikTok has going for them that no one else has is the fact that they've just got all this user data. And Amazon used this user data to like make white label Amazon products. I think TikTok have just got this wealth of data that people are already talking about, like, you know, trending hashtags, etc., what people like to watch, that just positions them really strongly to do this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking, what's the equivalent of this Trendy Beats, whatever they've labeled it internally as Project S, when this finally gets released? Like, what's the equivalent of this feature in the US currently? And it's QVC. So, you know, if you've got cable television, there's a dedicated channel. I don't know if your mom does this. My mom does this occasionally, where it's just like constantly infomercials selling things, selling jewelry, selling whatever. And it's just like a 24-hour TV channel dedicated to selling things, and you can call up, name the code of whatever was on the screen at that time, and you can buy it. I don't know if that will work in the US market on your phone. Like when I was thinking about it, where I think TikTok and some of the other live streaming sales in China works, you're stuck on a train for an hour. Like you're in between work, you're transporting. And so you're kind of brain dead watching a live stream of someone selling all these different things. In the US, like I don't think, like I just don't see someone, when you've got Twitch, say, you can watch a live stream of someone playing video games, very entertaining, funny, etc. Or you could watch an equivalent live stream, but it's like just marketing sales at you. Like I don't know why you'd pick that over the games.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think maybe this is like showing our age and how disconnected we are. But no. You know, when I look on the train, like people do this. Like they just scroll aimlessly and mindlessly through TikTok and clicking links and things like that. And I think like there is a wealth of information, but people choose to spend their time there.
But there's a dynamism with like the TikTok every 30 seconds, like you're swiping new video, whatever. This sort of live stream sales is predicated on you've got a personality that you like and you trust, and like you're watching them for an hour as they run through product after product after product. Different, I think, habit to the current TikTok sort of phenomenon.
Yeah, I think on macro, and as we start to wrap up, there's probably two points I want to hit on. The first point is like people are looking at how you link content with e-commerce. And that's like a big function at the moment of where technology companies are investing. Because, you know, you see a photo of, say, like Ryan Gosling or Margot Robbie wearing, you know, a nice shirt or jacket or whatever. People want to know what they're wearing and where you buy that. And so embedding that either in static picture or video is a key value proposition. I think the second is like with the regulatory, you know, axe hanging over TikTok in the US, and there hasn't been much noise about that. It's just interesting to see them making a bit more of a splash and then drawing the attention of regulators or redrawing the attention of regulators. So where do you see TikTok on those kind of 2 points?
Yeah, well, I mean, on that second one, I think it's dangerous because, you know, the big thing they're going to have to build out here is huge supply chain, logistics centers, etc., which means like they're essentially buying up property or renting out property. And I'm fairly sure the American government's going to take a dim view of, like, you know, acres and acres of warehouses plotted around the city centers of America containing all these Chinese goods. And as we've mentioned before, there's already complaints about the low quality of goods coming into America through Shein and some of the others. So I think there's a lot of headwinds here, Albert. And when I look further under the hood, this is where I think people just have to be a bit more cognizant of, like, well, what are the drivers of business executives? And I think it was that number at the top that you hit, Albert. Like, they're wanting to grow, quadruple the size essentially of their e-commerce business to $20 billion in the next couple of years. That's the direction from the top, and everyone below has to find a way to make that happen. And so they have to make big bets. And to me, this is like a big bet with a lot of risk and a lot of upside.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, and probably one that we should track pretty closely over the next, say, like year or so.
Agreed. Okay, Albert, let's finish up there. Thank you for listening to the East Meets West podcast, a podcast about understanding Asia tech and how Asia tech affects the world. We'll catch you next week. Subscribe and follow. See ya.